Have your Bibles. We turn to Acts chapter 9, please. Book of Acts, and the chapter 9. Book of Acts and chapter 9, and my text is found in the verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. A certain disciple named Ananias. So let's look to the Lord and ask for His help to preach the word. Father, we thank Thee that we're gathered together in this fashion. Thank You for the hymns of praise. Well, thank You, Lord. We have a wonderful song in our heart, those of us who have been redeemed. Even praise unto our God. And we're glad we have one to worship and to love and to serve today. We pray that will be with us around Thy word. We need Thee, Lord. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit of God to preach. And Lord, we need help to listen to Thy word. We pray that none of the word of God would fall to the ground today. And even, Lord, to bring forth even fruit in the lives of those in this meeting. Close us in with Thyself, we ask of Thee now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. One of the greatest conversions that is found in all of the Word of God is found in this chapter of Acts chapter 9. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Saul the Pharisee. Saul the persecutor. We read together here how this man became Saul the preacher. And we learned that he now preached the faith that once he destroyed. What a wonderful change had come into his life. He could write in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new." And here was Saul. He's a changed man. He used to hate Christ. He used to hate Christians. Now here he is in the very synagogues here at Damascus, and he's preaching the faith that once he destroyed. How merciful is God? How merciful is the Lord? The Lord saved this man from a terrible road of ruin he was walking upon. Now the conversion of Saul, no doubt, is very much to the forefront of this passage. The Lord wants us to see He can save the chiefest of sinners. The Lord wants us to see there's power in the blood of Christ. And the Lord can save the worst of sinners. And maybe there's some in this meeting this morning. And you feel, well, I'm the worst of the sinner. I'm a terrible woman. I'm a terrible man. I'm a terrible boy. I'm a terrible girl. Listen, the Lord can save you. The Lord can touch you this morning. He can change your friends. If He saved the chief of sinners, He can save you. And right here in this passage, we have the wonderful power of God at work in the hearts of the unconverted. And Saul now is saved. But there's another man closely related to his conversion in this passage called Ananias. A man I believe that is greatly overlooked when we speak about the conversion of Saul. He hardly gets a mention. He hardly gets a mention. I asked you this morning, did you ever hear anybody preach about Ananias? I hope somebody says, no. Or you have. Or so on, because the sermon we had to preach another one. But have you ever heard anybody preach about Ananias? He comes into the scene. He's moved out again. But important man, no doubt, and one of the greatest conversions here of the Bible. Ananias, down here at Damascus, the Bible says, down at Damascus, there was a disciple, a certain disciple named Ananias. And we will see he's a wonderful man. We will see he did a great job. See, Ananias, a certain disciple at Damascus. Before we look at him, there were three men in the Bible who were named Ananias. You would have over in chapter 5 of this book, Ananias the hypocrite. Do you remember in the day when the church was experienced revival? People were being saved. And they came and they laid down their all at the feet of the apostles. Here were people that were saying, I surrender all to Jesus. And they were given everything to Christ and to the cause. And Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, came. And they pretended. They pretended they were giving her all, friends. And they kept back part of that. And you can find in the book of Acts in chapter 5 that they were smitten down both by death. And so we find here in the book of Acts Ananias the hypocrite, holding back on God, pretending to be someone he was not. And may God deliver anyone in this congregation from playing the hypocrite. He was Ananias the hypocrite. In Acts 22, you have Ananias the high priest. In chapter 23 and verse 2, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth, which was, of course, Paul. He hates the gospel, he hates the servant of the Lord, and he commands, smite him on the mouth. And so you have Ananias the high priest. But here we have Ananias, the holy man of God. He's only mentioned one more time in the scriptures, not as in Acts 22 and verse 12, and Ananias, one Ananias, a devout man. And so he's only mentioned in this passage, and one other time, this particular man in the book of Acts, a certain disciple named Ananias. There's some things I want us to learn about him. One, first of all, Ananias and his title. Ananias was known as a certain disciple. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this very, very term, disciple, it opens up a lot of information concerning Ananias. As I have said, there's very little said about Ananias. Mentioned one more time in the Bible. But yet, Ananias, a certain disciple named Ananias. I see, first of all, Ananias and his title, we see his faith. Here's a man of faith. Here's a man who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it does not tell me how he was saved. It does not tell us here when he got saved. But here it tells us he is a certain disciple. Here's a man and he has faith in Christ. He's not trusting in his religion. He's not trusting in his works. No, here's a man and his faith is in Christ. He's trusting the Lord Jesus. He has no other hope for eternity. He has no other Savior. He's depending on the blood. He has turned from his sin. And he says, I am trusting Christ. He is my Savior. Others are rejecting Christ. Others hate the Lord Jesus Christ. But this one, the Christ Jesus, he is my Savior. You have his faith. He's a man of faith, friends. He's trusting in the Lamb of God. I don't know how he could see it. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Christ said to the disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Here, Lord Jesus sent out his disciples. The word teach means to disciple, or to teach, or to make disciples. Now, here was a man, he had heard the word of God. He had heard the gospel message. He had heard about his sin. He had heard about Christ. And he says, Lord Jesus, save me. I come to thee, Lord, with all of my sin, with all of my shame. And Lord Jesus, save me. You know, friends, the Lord Jesus saved them. The Lord Jesus forgave them. And all his sin were taken away. You see, he's now a certain disciple down in Damascus. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Friends, are you known in this time as a disciple of Christ? Do they say there's a man or a woman who's a certain disciple in Kikil? In your community? Have you faith in Christ? Are you saved? And some people here know the gospel, perhaps inside out. But it's not said of you, you're a disciple of Christ. You've never trusted Christ. Ananias and his title, well, we can see he's a disciple of the Lord. See his faith. You see his following. And the very word disciple reveals that he was a follower of Christ. He not only had faith in Christ, He followed Christ. And notice what I said. Some people put it the other way around. They think you're to follow Christ and then faith. It is not the case. He had faith in Christ. He was saved by the grace of the Lord. Now, he's following Christ. Because that's what a disciple does. Remember the Lord called Matthew. He says, follow me. Ananias was a follower of Christ. Now, the Pharisees had their disciples. Because in Matthew 22 and verse 16, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. They sent out their disciples. Now, these were men. They were followers of a sect, but not the Savior. These men were followers of different laws, but they were not followers of the Lord. But not so with Ananias. He was a disciple of the Lord. And listen, he followed Christ. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Once he followed the world. Once, friends, he followed sin. Once this man, no doubt, he followed a religion. But now he's following Christ. He's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesse Riles said, as a soldier follows his general, as a servant follows his master, as a scholar follows his teacher, as sheep follow its shepherd, just so ought a professing Christian to follow Christ. And if you're a disciple of the Lord in this meeting, then you're a follower of Christ. I have decided to follow Jesus. And Ananias, this disciple of the Lord, is following. He followed Christ. And I said to you this morning, who are you following? I said to the young people of our congregation, who are you following this morning? Are you following the world? Are you following people to clubs and pubs and to sin of the world? Are you following no devil down to the way of hell? Ananias, follow Christ. I'm glad today in this meeting I'm a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus every day by day. This is a disciple of the Lord, friends. His following. Think about his feelings as a disciple. Now you find that over in Luke chapter 14. The Lord Jesus was speaking about discipleship. He was showing us, friend, the high standard of a disciple. And he tells us there in Luke 14 and verse 27, or verse 26, sorry, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now the Lord Jesus is not telling us here we are to hate our family. We're to hate our mother and father, our wife, our children. No, what he is teaching here, that he above all else is to be loved first. Christ is to be first love in our heart. If we are to be his disciple. He says there in Luke 14, he cannot be my disciple. It's impossible. You cannot be a true disciple of Christ if you don't love him first. And I say to you, my friends, Ananias, love Christ. God said there's a certain disciple. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, with all of his heart. And Christ was his first love. So Augustine said, I would hate my own soul if I did not find it love in Christ. What an amazing statement. I would hate my own soul if I found it not loving Christ. He was a man who was a disciple of the Lord. He was a man who loved Christ. He was a man who didn't want anything to come between him and his blessed Savior. And he loved the Lord with all of his heart. So did Ananias. He loved the Lord, friends. His feelings as a disciple. Think about his fight as a disciple. Because the Lord Jesus says in that passage, Luke 14, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He has to bear his cross. Now, let me say that this man did bear his cross. He lived in very, very dangerous times. Had Saul the persecutor and all his men not come to the city. They've come to take him. They've come to arrest him. They've come, in a sense, to bind him with chains. And Ananias and his men here were in danger of losing their life. Not only their liberty.
And he had a cross. It was not easy being a disciple of the Lord in his time. It was not easy being a follower of Christ. No, friends, these were dark days. These were difficult days. But he had his fight for the Lord. He had his cross to carry. All true disciples of the Lord has a cross to carry. It's not easy always being saved. We like it easy. We'd rather take up the cushion and follow me. But that's not the way, friends, it is to be. We have to carry this cross. The Lord Jesus would say, or did say in Luke 21 and verse 17, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Ye shall be hated. He says in Mark 13 and verse 12 about people being put to death. "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." Oh, here's the Lord Jesus speaking about his disciples, speaking about those who are saved, speaking about those who follow him. And they're being hated, and some are being put to death. It wasn't easy for Ananias. These were difficult, difficult days, friends. And yet he still maintained the standard. He still lived for Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, "There are no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers here below." No, friends, what he said, no crown without the cross. There is a cross to carry. You have your cross, I have mine. Everyone. Every one of God's people has a particular cross, a particular problem, a particular trial. Oh, here's a man, friends, and we find here his fight, his cross. He's a disciple of the Lord. He had it. What about his forsaking? Well, over in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Lord Jesus says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Disciple leaves all in the hands of Christ. Everything he has. You can do that, friends, by prayer, just committing yourself to the Lord, your family to the Lord, your treasures to the Lord, just everything. All to Jesus I surrendered. He forsaketh not all that he hath. He cannot be my disciples. And the true disciple, if called to it, will be forsaken to forsake all. He may have to leave his home. He may have to leave his family. He may have to leave his possessions. He may have to leave everything. But oh, friends, the true disciple of Christ, he leaves all. The Lord called this man a disciple. Therefore, here's a man that left all. Are you holding back, my friend, on Christ? Are you holding something back? You realize I should give that to the Lord. But I'm holding it. I'm keeping it. No, dear friends, listen, give her all to Christ. He gave us all for us. It said in Luke 5, verse 28, "And he left all and rose up and followed him with Matthew." The disciples could say, Peter could say in Luke 18, verse 28, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Lord, we've given up everything for thee. The nets and the fishing." Well, to some people, it was really nothing. But I'll tell you this, friends, it was his all. It is his all. Here's a man that left all to Christ. I'm sure you heard the story. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones was a great physician, top doctor. He could have a very successful calling as a doctor, physician, but he forsook it all to follow Christ. Oh, Ananias, a certain disciple, is forsaken. What about his fellowship as a disciple? Well, over in Acts 22, and as I said, this is where he's mentioned again, in verse 12, Paul was given his testimony how he was converted. And here's what he said about Ananias. "And one Ananias, a devout man." Now notice how he was described. Paul is giving his testimony. He's telling of that wonderful day he was saved. And he's talking about Ananias. "And one Ananias, a devout man." There's Ananias and his fellowship. The word devout means pious or godly. He not only professed the faith, listen, he practiced the faith. He was a man who kept the law of God. He was a man who communed with Christ. Because we find here in Acts chapter 9, what do we find? We find the Lord speaking to Ananias. Do you see that in verse 10? And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, God is speaking to Ananias. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, and God is speaking to Ananias. Look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many. And he's talking unto the Lord. And verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, and so we have this communion between them. You see, he's talking to God. Friends, God is talking to him. You see, he is a devout man. Here it is, his fellowship. He practiced the faith that he possessed. And dear friends, he talked with God and he communed with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to this man. You see, he's a devout man. What about his fellowship in relation to the Word of God? The very word disciple means learner. He was a man who was learning the Bible. Matthew 11 verse 29, Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you notice that? Learning of Christ. You see, he was a disciple of the Lord. And he was learning of Christ. He was a devout man. And I want to say to you, he was just not a devout man once a week. On the Lord's day, it can be said of this man, he is a devout man. There he goes to his church. There he's got the scriptures. There he's praying. There he's reading the Bible. Ah, he's a devout man. Once a week, not a bit of it. He's a devout man all the time. He's walking with God, friends, every day. He's reading the Word of God every day. He's praying with his Savior every day. He's loving Christ every day. He is described as a disciple. He's described as one who is devout. We see what Spurgeon said of his own life. He said an amazing statement. He says, in 40 years I have not spent 15 waking minutes without thinking of Jesus. What an amazing statement. 40 years, he said. Of all the times I have been awakened, I have not spent 15 minutes without thinking of Jesus. He's just like Ananias. His fellowship. He's talking with Christ, and Christ is talking with him, and he's loving the Word of God, and he's loving the place of prayer. Tell me, child of God, are you devout? Ananias' disciple. God says, look at him. He's a devout man. Tell me, are you devout? Or have you been slack where you shouldn't have been slack? Are you slack in the place of prayer? Are you slack, friends, in reading the Word of God? Are you slack in coming to the meetings in the church? Are you a devout man, my friends? Here it is described, this disciple, this certain disciple. Some people are only devout on the Lord's day. They bring their Bibles to church and they read the Word of God with the minister of this church. They don't read the Bible all week. Ananias was different, friends. Ananias and his title. He's a certain disciple of the Lord. Are you known as a disciple of the Lord? Are you, friends? You're walking with Christ and loving Him. Can I rush on? I want to look at Ananias and his testimony. Because over in Acts 22, where Paul was giving his testimony, verse 12, and he says, one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, and here's what he said about Ananias, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Here's Ananias and his testimony. And Saul, or Paul, is giving the testimony, and he's saying here about Ananias, he's having a good report. But think about this. He had a good testimony. He had a good testimony, friends, among the Jews. As the people looked upon Ananias, they could see he was a good and a godly man. He showed this not only in his profession, but ah, friends, he showed it in the practice of the Christian faith. Such a life is consistent with salvation. He had a good report among the Jews. They saw him living for Christ. They saw him walking with God. They saw he was a man of prayer. They saw he was a man, friend of holiness. He had a good testimony.
And the Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If I'm saved, I have a good testimony.
He had a good testimony. Didn't mean he was a man pleaser. Didn't mean he was saying, well, I'll do this to please the man. He was not a man pleaser at all. He was a disciple of the Lord.
And he lived for Christ. And he had a good report among the unsaved all around them. Have you a good testimony? Have you a good testimony in your workplace? Have you a good testimony in this street? Or in this town, my friends? That you love the Lord? You see, we are to have a good testimony. We're to let our light shine before men, that men would see our good works. It is important, as I live for Christ, that we have this good testimony, this good report.
That doesn't mean everybody's going to love us. Doesn't mean everybody's going to like us. As I said on down the line, you'll be hated by all men, but you still have a good testimony.
Never lose your testimony for Christ. Never do anything that would harm your testimony for Christ. An awful thing, you lost your testimony. You've lost it all, really, in a sense. In 1 Timothy 3, in verse 7, speaking there about the offices, the qualifications for an elder, says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Qualification of an elder in a church is to have a good report.
A good testimony.
And it's true of all Christians. This was a man who was a certain disciple of the Lord, and he had this good report.
Remember Daniel? Remember when his enemies looked at him and says, well, fine, we'll have a look at him and we'll hear or see something he's doing wrong. And
then we'll report him to the king. Then we'll put him to death. And as they looked at this man in all his business affairs, in his whole life, they could find nothing against him, only this thing that he prayed. And friends, that's the only thing. Our enemies can look at us looking for faults, and all they see is we're men of prayer, love the Lord and his word. Oh, that we'll have a good testimony. See, as Spurgeon said, the sermons most needed today are sermons and shoes. That's an amazing statement. To live for Christ, a sermon by itself, how peaceful we are, how pure we are, how passionate we are for Christ, a good testimony. That's a sermon and shoes. Just living for Christ. May not be preaching to those around you. But they can see you're honest and upright and holy and love Christ, you see. Ananias and his testimony. Can look at Ananias and his task. You see here the Lord gave him a task, a service to do. In verse 10 the Lord said to him, and in verse 10 the Lord said unto a certain, there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias, he says, behold, I am here. He was in the right place. Right position to hear the voice of God. He says, Lord, I am here. I am here. Are you in the right place? Are you in the right place with Christ this morning? That you can hear his voice. He said, no, it's a long time since I heard the voice of the Lord. Have you been in the wrong place? The Lord gave him a task. He tells him about a place to go to in verse 11. He says, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for a man called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. The Lord says, listen, I want you to go to a place for me. Where do you want me to go to, Lord? He says, I want you to go down the street. I want you to go down the street. Friends, think of this calling unto this man, this certain disciple. This was a humble calling. Go down the street. The other people in the Bible had great callings. You think of Moses, got a great work in Exodus 3, verse 10. God says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that I may bring forth my people out of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And here was Moses. That was a great calling. Moses, I want you to get away down to Egypt. And I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to bring the people out. But it was not so, friends, with Ananias. God says, Ananias, I want you to go down the street. Down the street.
This was a humble and a lowly calling, friends. The Lord doesn't call us all to high places, you know. Some people are looking for big churches. I hear people saying, looking for churches, congregations. Some people say as well, I want to go to Spain or Kenya or America or some other place to serve the Lord. But listen, the Lord may only want you to go down the street. He says to the certain disciple, go down the street. Think of the mission coming. He wants you to go down the street. The Lord wants you to go down your street. You have neighbors who are on the way to hell. He wants you to go to reach them. And friends, this was his task. Just to go down the street for Christ. Just to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Ananias on his head. And think about the person he was to go to in the task. In verse 11. And the Lord says to him about Saul of Tarsus. I want you to go down to see Saul. Hey, this was the very last person he would want to see. Saul had come to the city to bind God's people and to put them into prison. This was a hard, hard calling. But that's what the Lord wanted to do. A very difficult, difficult calling in a sense. Humble, no doubt, but hard calling. It was the last person he ever wanted to see was Saul of Tarsus. And yet the Lord comes to this heart of this man and he says, arise and get down this street which is called straight for Saul of Tarsus. There he is. Oh, dear friends, does the Lord just want you to go down the street? You say, no, there's a hard man down my street. Aye. There's a wicked sinner down my street. Is there? The Lord says, I want you to go to him. I want you to go down to him. I want you to bring the tract to him. I want you to bring the information about the mission. I want you to witness to him. Get down the street, you see. Here was Ananias on his task. Oh, dear friends, a humble, a hard task in a sense. The Lord just wants you to go down the street. You begin at home. That's where I began, you know. I began at home. Just across the road from my house was a wee hall. That's where I started. Just down the street. It can be the most difficult place, of course, and I appreciate that. Your own people, the people who know you, that's difficult. They know you, and all. And sometimes can be the most hard. But listen, Ananias, down the street. Ananias and his trouble, can we say. At the cause of his trouble, in verse 13, Ananias answered the Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Oh, the hearing of Saul, he was troubled. They heard about Saul. I have heard by many. The people were all talking about Saul and his actions and the hatred of Saul. He had come to bind people and the authority of Saul. The authority from the high priest, you see. The fear of man brings a snare. The Bible says that, friends, in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare. You can go through Moses, Gideon, and Jeremiah. We haven't time to read the references. But listen, when God called them, they all began to make excuses. Jeremiah says he couldn't talk, and so did Moses. And Gideon says, well, I'm the lowest family here in Israel. And we all make excuses before you condemn them, friends. Are you troubled? You say, I couldn't face them people. Listen. Listen. Ananias had to go to see Saul. The one of the most wicked men around at this time. But think about not only the cause of his trouble, the cure for his trouble. God spoke to him. The Lord said to him in verse 15, but the Lord says, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel. There's a number of things God told him about him over the passage. He said in verse 11, he prayeth. He's a changed man. In verse 12, he tells him that Saul has seen the vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on his head that he might receive his sight. Anyway, he says, Saul's expecting you. And the Lord told him to go. And the Lord says, well, listen, he's a chosen vessel. What is God? He's encouraging him. He said, listen, go. It's okay. He's a changed man. He's converted. He loves Christ now. He's praying. I have chosen him to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. Oh, dear friends, the Lord encourages us. You know, the Bible says we're labourers. Again, I've quoted earlier on in the announcements. We're labourers together with God. God is with us in this work. He doesn't send us out alone. We couldn't do it, you see.
Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness." He was troubled. He was troubled. And yet the cure for the trouble, God spoke them.
My friends, we have the Word of God here. You can find him going there, Ananias and his child going, and he went to say in verse 17, he put his confidence in the Lord and trusted the Lord, and he rose and went. And look at his ministry in verse 17. He would enter his brother Saul, and he's welcomed Saul into the church. "The Lord sent me." What an amazing statement. "The Lord sent me." We go to people's doors for the mission. "The Lord sent me." We're doing his business, friends. "The Lord, he sent me." And he healed him, and he baptized him, and he gave him food. And Ananias, now listen, he's moved off the scene. There's no word now of Ananias, only in the testimony in Acts 22. He's removed off the scene. But he was faithful. And friends, God wants us to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And if you're not faithful in the wee things, you'll not be faithful in the big things. He was faithful in the little things. He went down the street. He spoke to the man God had put upon his heart, and he carried it all out for us. And that's the end of Ananias. But look at what a man he left behind. What about Saul, the man, the champion of the faith, man who loved Christ, great missionary journeys, going out and preaching in different parts of the world. Because Ananias went to see him. And we trust the Lord in this gospel campaign we're going to hold. We'll touch hearts and we'll see people changed. And people will be glad of the day and says, "A certain woman came to my house. A certain man from the Free Church came to my house. And God blessed the word and I'm saved. I'm a changed man." God can do it, friends. He did it for Ananias. A certain disciple named Ananias. Live for Christ, child of God. Live for him with all of your heart. And if you're not saved, come and trust him today. Come and be saved. His grace is free. Christ can give you everlasting life, bring you into the family of God today, cleanse you from every sin. If you come and trust him, don't be foolish and lose your soul, but come to the Lord Jesus even today. May God write his word upon all of our hearts. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless the word to hearts. I pray that you have touched people even already, and they will be changed. Your people will be challenged, Lord, but just even going down the street to be a witness for Christ. We pray for those who's not saved, I will bring them to yourself. And I pray you watch over us and bring us back again tonight to worship thee in this place and to preach thy word. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.